James Burke and Jane Burke. Heavy breathing in this. Come in close to the microphone there. Bring it down. Come in close. Be intimate.
Intimate.
Yes, it's a very intimate forum. Dee is a psychologist who, my understanding is, Dee, you work with couples in relationship or?
I do.
People in relationship, people and sex?
The whole gamut of relationship repair and recovery and rescue.
Can you do that?
Yep.
How?
I do. Through changing people's whole modus operandum towards their partner, for them to understand that for somebody to really be doing well with them, they have to behave themselves in a lovable way.
So it's not about changing your partner, it's about changing yourself.
Everything is, isn't it? However, as couples come to me and every couples therapist, and we hear in all the world out there, everywhere, it's all about the other person being wrong.
Oh,
always.
Is that the story, time immemorial?
Always. Time immemorial, yes.
And are women more likely to think that they're wrong or are women more likely to question their own behaviour or are men more likely to question their own behaviour?
Women will question their own behaviour because they're more discussing things with people that are raising different views, whereas guys keep it to themselves and really don't go to the questioning their own behaviour much until they're desperate, when they're on the brink and she's leaving, she's had enough. That's the male side of it. I mean, it's not totally strictly gender differentiated like that, but, you know, in the main.
So what's sex got to do with all of this? Because, I mean, sex
everything.
Is what, everything, isn't that interesting? Because it brings you together.
Yes.
Obviously, you're sexually attracted and you want to procreate.
Yes.
And then you do procreate.
Mm.
And then the relationship can move into something else.
Yes. However, the sex drive, desire, is a basic human need. And we have it for the obvious, procreation, but then we have it for attachment and connection and belonging and survivability in the world. So our brains have brain chemicals, which are produced, which keep us well and happy and well-balanced as a result of sexual pleasure and release and connection.
So what if you don't have a partner?
Yes, that's well. If you don't have a partner, people fill a void by going to the gym a lot, all sorts of
self-pleasure,
Aussie-isms, workisms, self-pleasures. Yes, self-pleasure, other ways to get the endorphins up and the dopamine levels raised.
Does that work? Does self-pleasure work as effectively as being with somebody else in terms of releasing the chemicals within?
That's probably not my expert area. I don't exactly know that specific answer. I would say no, because we are humans. We are a pack. We need connection.
But you can survive without
sex. You can
sex.
Survive, but that's survival. So if we want to thrive, I think we're thriving with sex in one form or another. And if we're in a couple, which it is essential for a couple, otherwise they will dive into misery without sex.
Really?
Yeah.
So
that's my experience of my couples I see.
So how do you entice your couples back into desiring each other?
Well, I see a biased group because they come to me wanting help. And always one partner wants help, and that is in the main the female context first. And then I work with the guy, the gentleman, to see does he want to really get this working and thriving. And I show them what the model is for a couple that thrives together for the long term.
What's that?
It's a model of warmth, emotional warmth, and reassuring comfort. Now, we can't have either of those without good old sex, good, enjoyable, pleasurable sex.
So what comes first?
Yes, good question, isn't it? What comes first? Mm. Well, initially, when we all first get together, it's hot, passionate sex. And then that will either mature and grow into a more reassuring, rewarding, comfort sex, building friendship, building a deeper belonging and a deeper attachment, or it doesn't. If it doesn't, usually the relationship doesn't progress on to a long-term relationship. It falls over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's going to go into a longer term relationship, it matures and grows as the relationship does, where each person, each partner looks after the other person well in a relatively well-balanced way. But I do break sex down into different types of sex. So mm-hmm. we don't have to have hot, passionate sex all the way through. That's not the answer because it doesn't last that way. We just couldn't. So kind of list it all down here. We have a sex where we are in a state of comfort and reassurance, which is comfort sex, okay? Then we have pleasure sex, where we are much in the mode and mood of pleasuring each other. And we gain a lot of pleasure, each individual does, in good relationships, from pleasuring the other. And then that can lead to high erotic passionate sex, but it may not. It may not. So couples do settle to a level. Good couples who are thriving and doing well together can settle it down to something that's rhythmic. They know what's coming and going. They can say today, oh, let's just have sex. Then other times it's, oh, how about we have a good play? Let's have put some playtime aside. Or I want to watch this movie or listen to this music. And they've got their special music that they put on, things like that. So it's a dance. It's a dance of intimacy is what it is. And the dance of intimacy is crucial and critical to the long-term happiness and thriving of a couple in a marriage or a long-term relationship.
Because a long-term relationship goes on a long time.
A long time, yeah. 40, 50 years. I saw a couple recently who are 52 years married, came for couples counselling.
Really?
Yeah, because they're fighting. They've both become grumpy and old. Yeah. And the thing is, in their instance, it isn't always when I see older couples, but this is a couple who haven't had any kind of intimacy for about 5 years.
So how do you...
So the pleasure principle...
That would feel really interesting about how do you reignite that fire?
Yeah, well, I can. And other therapists who do this work do. We take them back to give me somebody to love, and we look at each other's behaviour, and we can see if one or other or both are imposing negative will and negative emotions on the other one. If they are, sex dies. So we bring it back and show them how to do positive. Get them back into an amiable, amicable mode instead of accusatory, hostile.
Right. So if there's a negative mindset,
yeah.
How did you describe that? How could you
negative emotionality? They impose that on the other person. They come down on them with what I have been terming for years, rolling resistance.
What does that mean?
Well, resentment builds up over time for many reasons in a relationship. Those couples who do well cut it off and will repair fast. And they usually repair with a hug and a cuddle and some affection. But if we don't do that, resentment gets bigger and bigger until the person that's more resentful, or both who are equally resentful, resist that cuddle or that repair attempt. They'll resist it, they put a block up and they say no. And then no becomes their first word, not their last word, and there's no more intimacy. And that is a pattern that evolves. So I take people through myself and show them how they got there and how to get out of it.
Does it work?
It works for my people that I see 94% of the time. I check it 2 years afterwards. So I follow my couples for 2 years. I see them all only 8 to 10 times if that is their problem. Other couples have got other major issues. I will see them a lot more and it's different. But if that is the main issue and it's gone cold and they're resenting each other and can't stand to be around each other, then that's what happens.
So in terms of how long have you been doing this kind of work, Dee?
26, nearly 27 years.
Wow. So what would be your guidebook? You know, like you've obviously seen so many couples and you've seen so many stories. Mm. You must have been able to distill constant scenarios that keep popping up and you can say, I've seen this.
Yes, I do. I start every first initial session with everyone with my diamond method, which has the 5 absolute critical elements to a relationship which drive and feed the intimacy, fondness and affection. So without the 5 around the outside feeding it, there isn't fondness, affection and intimacy. And there isn't intimacy if there's no affection. It doesn't happen.
So what are they, the 5?
The 5. The first one is goodwill. Pretty critical. Then I've got cooperation, very important. You'd think that comes
goodwill.
In. Goodwill.
What does that mean, best intentions?
Best intentions. Listen to the other person. Say yes before you say no. Say, okay then, you could have a point there.
Yep.
All right, so we drop the word fight out of our vocabulary totally. We go, all right, I have a different opinion. That's fine. We've all got difference of opinions. We don't have to fight over it. We certainly don't have to have huge hostile bitter fights. And then we have camaraderie. Camaraderie is huge. I call it the secret sauce. It's where we really are looking after each other's backs, even through rough times. And if we are bonded well there, and that's where I mainly focus all my attention in my therapy. In
camaraderie.
In rebuilding and reconnecting, bridging it, showing people how to validate, how to be agreeable, how to be amiable, because they forget. They become accusatory and hostile. And they'll flare up in a millisecond and throw critique out. Always they're right and the other one is wrong. So it all comes down to some fairly basic stuff to correct once people are aware. So I wake them up. That's what I do.
You wake them up.
I wake them up.
Yeah. Dee Tozer is a psychologist. Her specialty is about sex and relationships, is it? I mean, we met because of an article that came past, What Happens When You Stop Having Sex.
Yes. And my sex comes into every session that I have. And I see I've just tipped over into 3,880 something couples.
Wow.
Over those years. So it's a lot of couples. Sex everywhere, all the time on the table. Some more comfortable to talk about, others not, but I draw them straight in. However, I will make the distinction. I'm not a sex therapist.
No.
Because that's more specific in technique and arousal and things like that. Although I bridge that gap a bit and then I'll refer on if we get to that point where they really want to.
I don't know whether we'll get any talk back. Everyone might be just too shy. But
shy.
It'd be interesting to know whether or not you've been able to reignite your relationship.
Yes. Yes. Have I?
No, I mean,
yes, and if other people have, I would love to hear if they have.
1-300-222-774.
Would be fantastic.
1-300-222-774. Have you been able to reignite your relationship? Have you seen it go through different stages and either had some help to get it into a new version of itself or managed to do it yourself? And if you're brave enough, how much has sex had to do with that? 1-300-222-774. I'll just give you some dialing music because I know you might need to think about this and then think, bugger it. Let's jump in. Dee Tozer is your guest. Looking forward to talking with you.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Hesitation's through. There's no time to wallow in the mire. Darling, we could only lose, and our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Thank you.
Jose Feliciano, Light My Fire. You're listening to ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria. A million text messages and quite a few calls, and we shall get to them in just a moment.
Voting for the 2019 Logie Awards is now open, and you have the chance to give a nod to one of your favourite ABC personalities. Each week, comedian Tom Gleeson has ridden the line between talk and torture on Hard Chat, and the godfather of flora, Costa Georgiadis, has displayed his all-consuming passion for plants on Gardening Australia. So whether you're going for gold with Gleeson or growing for gold with Costa, vote now at tvweeklogieawards.com.au.
Call Libby now, 1-300-222-774.
Okay, I'm going to get to the calls in just a moment. I have a number of text messages calling us on something, Dee Tozer, who's a psychologist. We're talking about sex and relationships. This is from Anonymous, but it reflects a couple of them. Truly, I know lots of people who are totally thriving without sex. Good sex is wonderful for most people, though I know people who seem perfectly happy about identifying as asexual. However, humans are exquisitely variable and find myriad ways to thrive. Stereotypes like humans need sex to thrive negates the lived experience of a substantial number of people and can impose unnecessary judgment on people finding their own way.
Well, I think we're saying, and we're not referring to the general population here, we're looking at the couples who've stopped having sex who want to have a thriving long-term relationship. And I think that that comment is probably not quite so relevant for those. Mind you, I'm sure there are couples out there that I don't see who are thriving without sex, but I see so many who aren't.
Okay, so someone else has asked us to talk about what happens to the body without sex like you advertised and they're not in a relationship. And you know what? I don't know. Do you know?
No. Well, what we do know is we do have desire for attachment and desire. We have biological drives for desire to be fulfilled somehow. Now, that is a neuroscience drive that comes from dopamine mixed with oxytocins. So all of those neurochemicals come into play. I'm no expert in it, but I know that they dwindle or decline without sexual release.
Okay. You know what? I did say that was what we were going to look at, and I'll look into it for you and bring it to you over the next few weeks. Lucy from Baldwin, you only see couples who are unhappy with this situation. There are couples out there having no sex but are perfectly happy, and I've got a couple of text messages that reflect that. And Lucy brings to our attention, especially female same-sex couples, sex isn't the driving force after 30 years. Companionship, laughter and being together is the most important thing. Well, that goes with your principles, right?
It does, absolutely. And I do see a lot of same-sex couples, females.
Yeah.
But the ones I see who are in conflict are those who are having problems with sex. Is a direct correlation between the two.
So maybe the ones who are having problems with sex are the ones that come.
They have other troubles everywhere else. It comes out. If they're a couple that needs to have that sexual connection and they don't, it turns out in one of all the myriad of disconnections that happen.
All right. We shall go through the five diamond prisms as we finish up this segment and what it leads to, the three non-negotiables. But let's take some calls, shall we? Susie, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for ringing.
Pleasure. I was just interested in the, you seem to be saying that if a couple's having problems, they need good sex to fix it, that's great. Couldn't disagree with that. But in the event that for medical reasons, either the man or the woman are unable to be intimate like that, what's your answer there?
It's Dee here. So this is a qualification always, that if there's an illness or a disability there, then other ways of reinforcing and maintaining the harmony and the heartfelt connection need to be built and reconnected different ways.
You mentioned playing around.
And yes. So that is one way where I often have to go through a process where I've had a woman just very recently who's had a series of cancers with all different immunotherapies that have cut out all her ability, interest, drive at all over 5 years. And so we started with music and we started to get a spa idea going, and she's actually waking up a little bit from it, but she's also tuned now more into what he's being deprived of and why that's made him edgy and maybe not such a sympathetic partner even though he's pretty good, throughout the whole relationship of the 5 years. So there are ways where they can play around. We can even get some more humour into it and lighten things up and have some light playing around and physical touch of a pleasurable type without it being a full-blown, you know, mad crazy sex, yes.
Right. Any other answer apart from sex?
Any other
answers? Any other remedies?
To a disharmony.
Oh, it's a very long list.
To be disharmony.
If somebody's in disharmony with, and it's due to illness, are you saying, or inability to connect physically?
Just due to.
Let's go through the five diamond prisms.
Mm.
Let's just go through these bits again.
Yes. So I would start with saying, where's the goodwill at between you? Do you have goodwill between you that's easy flow? Yes, I'll go there. I'd love to do that with you. I think that's a great idea. Yes, let's do it. Or do we have, no, I don't like that. No, I think that's a crazy idea. Or in general, I'm resistant and reluctant to cooperate with you.
Camaraderie was the next one.
Mm.
Cooperation was the next one.
The top three are all about looking after each other's backs, because if we've got all of that there and goodwill and positivity between us, then the negative critique that can come between you, it depends on what has come between you or is coming, and there'll be probably a whole load of things, it gets in the way.
Susie, can't go any further into that, but thank you for calling. Mm. And I hope that the conversation sparked something so that you can make things better if you need to. Regina, hello? Hello, Regina. I have to check and see if Regina can come back. Ernie?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
That's good.
Your turn.
What's sex? Hey, after 30 years...
Yeah.
And I 30 years ago, I had a priapism. You know what a priapism is?
No.
Yeah, well, it's a clot of blood in the penis.
Yep.
And I was talking to a specialist the other day, and he said, we cannot help you. I had it for 3 days. I had a bloody erection for 3 days. And he said, what they do with it? I said, what they done was knock the main vein out, and that was it.
That was it. So you can't get an erection, is that right?
No.
What? Explain yourself. I don't know what you're talking about. I know you said you knocked the main vein out, but what does that mean?
Well, you can't get an erection. Like.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, you can't.
But you're okay, aren't you?
Hey?
You're all right?
Well, we're still together.
Yeah. Good.
Well, when it happened 30-odd years ago...
Yeah.
I give her the option. She come from a family of 10, and because they're a pretty frisky mob. And I told her, we had a talk around the table. I said, if you want to leave me and find another fella, well, you know, you go ahead. But she's still with me after all these years, 50-odd years.
Yeah. And how do you keep it together?
Hey?
How do you keep it? What's the secret to your beautiful relationship?
Oh, well, just go out and enjoy life. I got more female friends than I have male friends. But when you start twice to get a dancing, but you, when you start dancing and the women are lovely, you know.
Okay. So, Ernie, it's Dean here.
I didn't tell them, you know.
So, Ernie, it sounds to me like you have a lot of goodwill between you.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, a lot of cooperation and looking after each other.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we enjoy life.
And a lot of fun, so you've kept that part going. Yes.
Well, what are you going to do?
Exactly. No, it sounds...
Okay.
Sounds perfect.
Sounds good.
Sex is everything.
Mm.
Sex makes a family.
Mm.
But when it's not there, it's not there, and that's it.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you for your call, Ernie. Let's go back to Regina. Hello, Regina.
Yes, hello.
Hello, your turn. This is...
Well, what you've been saying is just seems to be so true to me that I'm absolutely stunned, I guess. I'm in a new relationship, a couple of years. And when it started, he lied about his age by about 8 or 9 years, which is significant.
Mm.
It is significant when you get to into your early 60s and, you know, he's in his early 70s nearly.
Yes. So, how did you meet, Regina?
We met online,
yes.
Which seems to be the normal way.
Yes, that's right.
And intellectually and our hobbies and that, it's been wonderful.
Mm.
And our travel and everything. But
so what's gone wrong?
Yes.
Yes, it's absolutely gone wrong because intimacy completely stopped. Not even the hugging or feeling that you are sexually attractive to him anymore, and that has just died. And I've spoken about it, and that's where I'm concerned because he knows that it's a problem, and he says he will be better, but it never changes. So
no.
I'm just about at the point of ending the relationship because maybe I could come to someone like you.
You probably.
It might help. But
well, it would help to have a look at it because there could be some reasons that are part of the energy exchange between the two of you that's caused him to shut down. Not apportioning blame anywhere here, but if your energy had become a little pushy on him, I'm not saying you did, but he may have felt it as you becoming a bit pushy and he wasn't up to it. That is men retreat. It's a typical generational thing for guys in their 60s do retreat, so it could be something to do with that. That's about the best I can offer you now.
Yes, well, at least maybe I'll talk to him about seeing a person, but I wouldn't really know where to start, which is the right counsellor.
Mm.
So how do you go about finding the person who actually does couples counselling like you do?
Where do you live?
I live in Moonee Ponds.
In Moonee Ponds? Well, there's a website called the Heart Centre, H-A-R-T, centre.com.
Right.
You can have a little look there and that'll take you around and about, Regina, so that you can start your journey tomorrow.
Mm.
Oh, Dee, what a huge session.
Yeah.
Very emotional. Can I finish it with a text message that I got here? Married 68 years ago today, lost my husband 2 years ago. We always held hands before going to sleep. Quiet sex, lovely hugs.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I love it.
I do too.
Mm.
Dee, thank
okay,
you.
Pleasure.
A brave choice for us on the Sunday program. But, you know, as always, this community rises to the challenge and
that's
shares itself.
And
it's a very important
it was lovely.
Part of life.
Thanks for having
thank
me on.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
It is 20 minutes to 12 o'clock in just a moment. I will introduce you to Catherine Murphy, the girl with the voice you could listen to talking about anything. She's a sports reporter here at the ABC, and I know you're as interested as I am to find out exactly where she came from.